Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Erica Wyatt, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, joining you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is episode number 107. It is auspicious because I am 1 year older this episode. Yesterday was my birthday, and I want to say thank you to everyone who wished me a happy birthday. Heritage Radio wished me a happy birthday, and Jack wished me a happy birthday. And on Facebook, it gives me a reason every year to post the speech that Roberto Benigni gave when he won the Oscar for Best Picture, and he climbs over all of the chairs.
It's
and
he's the like, best.
It's the best. And every year, it gives me a reason to post it. It's like, I want to make love to everyone here, and that's how you guys make me feel. I'll tell you, I'm going to keep all of your messages for like my blue days in February and be like, my friends love me. So thank you to everyone. And I want to just briefly, without going into any detail about my feelings, although I think my politics are pretty clear at this point, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I just want to acknowledge the events in Paris that happened last week and say that for our French listeners or our friends of French listeners, we are thinking about you and I am thinking about you, and I hope that everyone is safe and secure. And as a person who survived 9/11 in New York City, I know the feeling, and we will get through this and be a better planet as a result. But that's not what I want to focus on, because this being one of the first holiday shows, I'm really excited to welcome my guests, my dear friend, Rebecca Salisbury. Hello.
Hello.
And I'm going to use your title of professionally glamorous, because that's what I feel like you are.
Thank you.
You are a trained chef.
Yes, I am.
A professional party person.
I am.
You professionally throw parties, which is like, that's what I would put on my business card.
I would love to have that made. Thank you. That is in the works.
And our mutual friend, Allison Hamlin, Deputy Director of Heritage Radio Station, and also
professionally glamorous.
Professionally glamorous as well. And I'm trying to think, are you like party planner emeritus of Astor Center?
She is.
I guess, yeah. No, I'm just like kind of hat wearer emeritus. I'm sure it's like Rebecca can also fellow hat wearer emeritus.
We do so, a lot of things.
We still do.
I have my students at NYU are all coming upon graduation and they're like, how do you do so many things? I'm like, well, I want to live within 45 miles of New York City, and I haven't found that cushy three-figure salary yet. So, and they're like, you don't have a... Like, yeah, no, just get ready to do a lot of different things. But I think it's a really cool thing. So today we're going to talk about one thing that we're all really good at, which is throwing a dinner party. Because I feel like coming up into the holidays, there's a lot of pressure to spend time with family that you may or may not be looking forward to, which is going to be a whole other show altogether next week. But for this week, I want to talk about the like the idea of having your friends over and celebrating and being together with the family that you get to choose. And that sounds like a really good idea until you start talking, like thinking through the logistics of it. And it's like, how the hell do you pull this off? So the first question I'm going to put to both of you guys is how big, and Jack, if you want to join in on this conversation, I know this is a topic dear to your heart as well.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you guys, what's your living situations in terms of your size of apartment and how many guests you could theoretically accommodate?
Well, so I live in Jersey City, and I'm pretty lucky to have a fairly large apartment, and I live alone. So I'm lucky enough to be able to accommodate, I would say, about 10 10 guests comfortably.
And I think for a dinner party, 10 is probably the max.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then you end
things
up
get pretty crazy.
Right. Which we could talk about. So, Allison, how many people can you fit in your dining? Do you have a proper dining room?
I have. So, my dining room is attached to my kitchen, which is really great because I think my soft skill around party planning is that nothing is ever really done when people are ready to eat it. So it's nice because I can be in the kitchen but also be with everybody. So comfortably, my table sits 6. 8 is a stretch. And so I have 8 chairs, but then we've been known to improvise a little bit. So I've had people like sit on banker's boxes and like pillows mounted up and crates and IKEA furniture.
But that's fun because it's intimate and it's not stuffy and like.
Yeah, it's very casual. But I would say the maximum that I would like attempt to entertain is 10.
Okay. So 10. And Jack, how about you?
See, I've got a backyard, which is nice. I recently just... But my kitchen is also challenging. You kind of have to like bend your head underneath the cabinet to wash dishes. It's a little bit of a... And I have like a little half stove.
So you're like summer dinner parties.
Yes. And I recently... Allison was over for the last time I entertained. And mm-hmm. I don't know. We had like... Maybe like closer 12, to 15. Yeah, I want to say like 15.
Well, Jack has a great backyard and he has all this like designer lawn furniture, which is amazing. And he has a fire pit. So if you need 3 reasons to go to Jack's house, I would like, you know.
Nice.
Don't turn that invite down.
So maybe you could do like an après ski, like just shovel out around the...
I like that idea.
I love that idea.
We could cross country right into the backyard. Okay, so let's say we're going to invite 10 people to our fictional dinner party. How do you decide who gets to come? Because I would assume we're all lucky enough to know more than 10 people that we enjoy spending time with.
No, just 10.
Allison's like, it's easy. I know it. I know everybody.
Cap it there. Mine would definitely be dependent on what type of dinner party I'm looking to throw. It's definitely dependent on the theme or what sort of environment I'm looking to create. You know, if it's a tiki party versus, you know, a 90s R&B party, you know, with fast food, potluck, you know, it's all versatile, you know.
I would, and I think maybe starting with the theme is actually probably a better place to start because
always.
Then, okay, so then let's start there because I feel like for me it's very like I want candlelight and I want it to be like farm to table, but like I want to do 90s fast food that never even occurred to me as a thing you could do.
Oh, yeah, no, and I'm very selfish in that, so it's and that's where I always start. So it's like, what kind of dinner party do I want to have? And it's always like, okay, well, I want to throw a Hemingway theme party, you know, and or what sort of mood am I in right now, and then I start there, and then who do I want there, what feels right in that sort of environment. So
I almost had a Titanic themed dinner party because you can get the menu from the Titanic. It's available on, you know, and it was just the 100th anniversary, but I either had a newborn or I was like about to have a newborn, and I was like, yeah, this is not a great time for a dinner party.
Nope. Emily, you have a pool though too, so you could have it and then everybody jumps in the pool at the end of your Titanic dinner party, or you have it around the pool and then people who like
orchestra.
You could have like straws under people's plates, and whoever has the short straws like in third class,
right,
and
so
they go
great
in the pool first.
Oh my god! And then a game could be like rearrange the deck furniture.
Yeah. We can still do this.
So fun. We could do this next summer. Pool's closed right now, although we will have icebergs.
But it would be appropriate.
Perfect timing.
It would be appropriate.
It could be like a penguin plunge. You could do a fundraiser.
Yes, a penguin plunge into my pool. Oh my god, that would be.
All right, so I know what I'm doing next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah. Maybe like Saturday or Thanksgiving. We'll talk. We'll talk offline.
Okay.
Okay, Jack, what's your ideal theme?
So I don't know about theme, but I struggle with this, and Allison can tell you because I consulted with her as I was like, I want to have people over. I want to have people over for a dinner party kind of thing because I have all these sort of disparate groups of friends. Like I've got my DJ friends. I've got my foodie friends. I've got my college friends, and they all kind of show up places at different times and have different expectations, and some of you know what I mean? So it's hard to get everybody on the same page.
Right. That was my seltzer opening too. I don't know if that made it onto the mic. I think
not.
I heard it in
maybe
the mic.
Faintly. So I kind of like I over invited and assumed that like 60% of the people would show up, and then there was food for those who showed up early, and those who came later there was no food.
I have I always default to inviting everyone that I know to parties, which for like the Hootenanny, which is outside, I literally just anyone that I come into contact with, I'm like, come to the Hootenanny. We roast a pig and it's potluck. So everybody's charged with bringing something, which mostly works. But for something more intimate, I think I would be more selective. I might choose people who I think are going to have something interesting to talk about. Mm-hmm. I will also say I have been cut off by friends and husband from trying to match people that I think would be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
I don't do that, but I do try to have a nice balance of couples and singles at dinner parties because I find... as a newly single person, there's something about like going to a dinner party and being surrounded by couples and just being like, oh, I'm so sad right now.
Yeah. I actually recently had somebody turn down an invitation very graciously by saying, you guys are all going to be super comfortable in your coupledom. And I'm newly single as well as she was. And she's like, I'm going to graciously say no.
Yeah.
And no. I thought that was like such a mature grown up way to be like, this is what I need out of the situation and I'm not going to get it. So, yeah, that's like a whole other thing. Like the behavior on the guest part, if you get invited to a party that you don't want to go to, I think a really grown-up thing to do is say, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Although I did have a dinner party once where my ex-partner invited one of his friends and I invited one of my friends. And they were very similar. He was like, oh, they're totally going to get along. It's going to be great. And so they hit it off. They had a great time. And then they discovered that one of them was dating the other one's ex.
Oh, like at the party.
And then it became this moment of like, do we talk about this? Do we not talk about this? And watching this like relationship, like their like personal relationship and then the like acknowledgement that they both knew the same guy and then the like balanced shift from like one girl telling the other one all of the reasons why the guy was like kind of crazy and
happened in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
See, I give my brother a hard time because he lives on the East End of Long Island in what I refer to as a landmass appendix. And he's like way out on the East End. And there's only so many people in his age group and demographic. And I don't think he would be offended by me telling he's gone through most of them and none of them are the one. So I keep trying to get him to like come to a bigger pool in the city, but it he sounds like...
I got room at my dinner table now, so just let him know.
Joey, are you listening? Are you listening? He's totally listening. But yeah, so it's awkward guest interaction is not something you can escape in a large city. So that goes against my theory of like...
Well, the best planning, you know, right. You can try, but sometimes.
And you're all like hip, interesting people, so.
So what's the ideal size then, do you think, for a dinner party?
I think 10. I think
10 is the right number?
6 and 10. Mm-hmm. And
does that include your host? So are you counting yourself in the 10?
I would count myself, yes, I would count myself in the 10 because we only have so many seats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to I don't want everyone to sit and then be like, oh, F, I don't have a seat, which would totally happen.
Oh, I would do that. I'd totally do that.
So, all right. So we pick a theme. Let's say it's Titanic. That'll be our theme. And now we have 10 guests who are coming. How do we address the cost of throwing a dinner party? Because I think it's really fun to be ambitious. And both of you guys and Rebecca most recently have worked as professional caterers where I think planning a menu is so fun. And then you realize like, oh my God, that's like $500 worth of food.
Oh my God, I didn't think about how I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when I work with clients now, like I learn the hard way. The first thing I say, and this is probably the best thing to do at home too, is how much money do you have?
Right.
And I couch it nicely or I try to couch it nicely, but it's basically like, I'm not going to have the fun, let's plan the party, like pigs in a blanket and like all that until you tell me I have $500, I have $5,000, I have $50,000. So do you guys do that? Do you, Rebecca?
Well, my problem is I go big or go home on these things, you know, and I want to do it all or do it nothing, you know, but I feel poorly because I would never want to put that cost on my guests. So no, but I've learned the hard way, and I want to budget out from the beginning because I am young and I'm not making.
I'm old and I'm not making. Yeah.
So I've learned to start from the beginning and set myself a budget and been really really strict on that. So yeah,
Allie? I think it's really important. Like. Do you do that, Allison? Do you give yourself a number? She's like, no.
No. One, for a couple of reasons. One, it's like, I want what I want. And like this, I throw dinner parties mostly for myself, and I don't, I mean, I live pretty like a, you know, quiet life otherwise. So I don't usually, but I will, so I'm a vegetarian. So most of what I cook, is vegetable based. It's a lot of kind of like creative pantry staples. So I do find like with the assumption that like if you're not expecting, you know, filet mignon, like you can go a lot further with your budget. I also am like when I do work meat into my sort of like dinner planning, you know, we work alongside Heritage Foods USA. So, you know, what I am getting is oftentimes really like special. So I make some space in the budget for that. But I also feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, it's not really an object to me, and I get to keep the leftovers.
Right.
So then yeah. I eat for a week anyway. If I plan it right.
Right. We've talked about it with the Hoot Nanny. Like, should we ask people to kick in $5, $20, whatever? And then we always come back to nope.
No.
Like, it's a party.
Mm-hmm. I would hate that. Yeah. I would hate to be invited to something and then say, by the way.
Right.
Know,
yeah.
I'd be turned off as a guest.
Mm-hmm. What if you gave and I guess this isn't specific to the dinner party, but like, bring a plate to share,
mm-hmm.
Something to drink to share,
mm-hmm.
or $15. But you can't bring nothing.
I'm inclined to say, like, I like to ask people to bring whatever they would like to drink. And then they're covered. I mean, I have a back bar, and I'm like always happy to make people drinks if they want. But spending $200 on wine is like a little different than spending it on food, which I think is like more easily distributable. And if you want to drink Bud Light with lime, like that's what you bring, and maybe we'll drink that later. But I think also a lot of people, especially like people who kind of roll in these circles, bring stuff anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I find like I don't think I would ever ask people to contribute financially. I feel like if it's a party, like we should be able to afford the party
right.
that we're throwing.
Right, exactly.
And if we can't afford the party, then we shouldn't throw it.
Right.
But you can make, like, I've really made some kick-ass stuff with, like, chickpeas and lentils and tomatoes mm-hmm. and, like, paneer and all these, like, really delicious herbs and spices. But I don't think it has to be some, you know, showcase leg of lamb that costs $300 nope. or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Yeah. I have found that I'm spending more of my budget to make the room look beautiful,
yeah.
which has, like, been a shift because I feel pretty confident. I mean, I feel pretty confident in my cooking skills.
I would hope so.
But, like, making the room look beautiful, like, going to Home Goods with, like, $100 to spend on, like, little crystal reindeer, what? You know, napkin
what?
Holder.
What?
What? No, this is not your...
No.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that I end up with
people are, like, sitting on banker's boxes in my apartment, like, no crystal reindeers there.
See, the downside is I end up having, then I have like crystal reindeer that I bought for one thing and I need to have a yard sale every year.
You got to Marie Kondo that.
I do have to Marie Kondo that. Do you, Rebecca, are you familiar with the work of Marie Kondo? Jack, is this news to you? Do you know Marie Kondo?
No, ma'am.
So I talked about it a few weeks ago on the show. She's written a book called The Miraculous Power of Tidying Up, I think it's called.
Yeah, something about...
And she basically is like, throw that shit away.
Oh, God.
Just
she's
get
like,
rid of
hold
it.
Hold it in your hand. So this is it's called the KonMari method. And you hold the object, you hold it in your hands, and you ask, does it bring me joy? And if the answer is yes, you keep it.
But that's the problem.
And the answer is...
Everything in my apartment brings me joy.
Brings you joy, then you keep it.
And that's why I have like 80 gnomes in my apartment. And
you love everyone.
I do have 80, not 80, but I. Enough. This is a separate conversation that your listeners do not need to know about.
You're
going
to need an invitation to a dinner party if you want to learn about my gnome.
We should have a gnome party anyway. Gnome theme party.
Gnomely the only lonely.
Look, I have so many gnome jokes. We need to.
This will be the outtakes. We'll do a whole like rap sesh on just gnome jokes. Rebecca will tell 10 minutes of
so
gnome
jokes.
So many
gnome puns.
Stay tuned.
You have gnome idea.
Sorry. No, Jack, I think on that note, we have to take a break. That was... I was trying to make eye contact with Jack to just be like, just go out on that. That was beautiful.
Ha ha ha!
this lovely break music courtesy of Keto, our ex-intern, Declan. This one's called Late Nights. We'll be right back on Sharp and Hot.
Smith, audio engineer for Heritage Radio Network. Personally, I think I have the coolest job in the world because every day I come into work and record shows ranging from homebrewing to horticulture, from lifestyle tips and tricks to culinary history. Needless to say, I've become a stellar dinner guest. And you know, my job wouldn't be possible without support from listeners like you. If Heritage Radio Network shows accompany you on your way to work, on your way home from work, while you're cleaning the apartment, or maybe you just love what you hear, you should consider donating. Check out our brand new beautiful website at heritageradionetwork.org and notice the little beating donate heart up in the top right corner. Your support will go a long way. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot, everyone. I am Emily Peterson. I'm being joined in the studio by my dear friends, Rebecca Salisbury and Allison Hamelin. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
So we were talking before the break about dinner parties and how do you guys serve the food? So we've decided on a menu, Titanic theme, farm to table, holiday, vegan, whatever it is. How do you serve it? Do you do a buffet? Do you pass things around?
I'm just biased to more of a cocktail-y sort of lay it out buffet style, serve yourself. I like things to be more free-flowing in that way. Allison?
Well, I think we've already established that my dinner party has a glacial pace, which I think is perfect for our Titanic-themed party. Mm-hmm. Things kind of hit the table at different speeds. So usually, like, I'll start with some kind of snack, whether that's, like, a dip or a fondue. Fondue is my fave. Now it's winter, so that's, like, seasonally appropriate. And kind of like something to bring people around the table and hang out with while they snack and drink. I like everybody to have like two drinks before food even like kind of comes into the conversation.
But I think having a snack is important too.
Yes, because you don't want to be starving because you don't want to like hit it like there's no tomorrow and then fill up. So, and then I try to intersperse. So I'll usually have something hit the table, like every 15 or 20 minutes. I usually make between 4 and 6 dishes because I like can't ever choose. It's
That's
really
my
hard
problem.
For me to edit. Yeah. So like I kind of like generally like ramp up. So recently I did, I started with a fondue. And then I made my big like piece was a eggplant parmesan with like spaghetti and all sorts of stuff. But then, you know, I had like some roast vegetables with the homemade aioli. I had, like a Caesar, like a sauteed kind of like wilted salad that I like put on the grill and then had like crispy shallots on top of. You know, it's just like a bunch of different textures and nibbles. You know, it's like a grain, a vegetable side, something starchy.
And are you using recipes?
Yeah, I like to print. I like to print my recipes out, and I have a like a binder clip, and I'll put a couple of my binder clips up over my workstation, which is like right over by my stove, and then as I've kind of like finished major steps, I'll take the pages out that I don't need anymore. But I find recipes are like kind of a loose guideline. I like to improvise, which is probably why it like. Kind of takes its own pace. But I'm generally really satisfied with the results, and mostly it's just because I know what I want the dish to be. So even if I just use the recipe as a starting off point, that tends to be good. I think the only drawback to this is that people don't really have a good idea of how much more food is coming sometimes. Yeah. So you have to be really clear with them, like, okay, so like here's this and here's this. Like, there's going to be like, I'm going to drop like a steaming pile of like bubbly, gooey, cheesy deliciousness on you in 20 minutes. And you just need to like save some space.
Make room,
for it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But then people linger, and that's nice too. Cause you know, you can kind of stretch out a meal that otherwise would take 2 hours into 4 hours. You know, you can nibble and pick and there's no rush.
So I am kind of the other school of thought. I try to make things so that I don't have to cook anything once guests start to arrive. Like I want to be on, but I have like, even with my closest friends, pretty severe social anxiety disorder, and I really need something to do.
Yeah. I'm so with you there. So with you, and it's nice to like have stuff to do, and I think you need a deputy to kind of like manage the social aspect of things if you're gonna like pull yourself into the kitchen more fully.
Right. So yeah, it's like walking this line between like, of course I love you, you're my best friends, and I want every, but I'm also like, but I also don't like.
Let me run to the kitchen real quick.
I know, I just have to check on something. I have to say, one of the most successful dinner parties I threw was, we did a pizza party, and so we made the dough and we prepped out most of the toppings, and then everybody had to just like make a pizza when they were hungry, and we threw it, we had the oven going, and it was in the winter time, and it was awesome because, as it turns out, everybody wanted something to do, and so no one was like, I'm perfectly comfortable standing here with a cocktail making small talk with a stranger. Everyone was like, oh yeah, let's try this. Oh, I've never had anchovy. Let me try it. And that was really successful.
Was that inspired by maybe a class or an event that you're familiar with?
I think the other way around. I think that was that was before I went to culinary school.
Oh,
yeah, that's gone way back. That's gone way back. Well, my mother used to throw interactive sort of birthday parties for us. So my birthday is in November. And so one of the memorable ones was, I remember she made a whole bunch of gingerbread cookies and then had little squeezes of icing and toppings. And we were like 7 or 8 years old, but everybody got to decorate their own cookie or like make their own cupcake. And I think that kind of informed me as an adult too.
Peterson's love of mise en place started early.
Oh yeah. And everything labeled. Yeah, you mentioned hanging up the binder clips. I will like make lists just like I do in the regular kitchen, and I print out my recipes and masking tape them to the cabinets.
Got some photos of those. Right. We can put those up on the blog.
Right,
Emily Peterson's obsessive lists.
My obsessive lists with the little check boxes that I draw.
I've seen those.
They're still there. I still do it. So, all right, let's talk social anxiety. Do you give people icebreakers or games, or like, is there a somebody where? Oh, the Astor Center. No, Heritage Radio Network's host meeting where we had to write down.
Oh yeah, facts that no one else knew about yourself.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought that was
really
fun. And then we like put them all in a hat and would periodically read them out. And it was like, oh, well, I don't know.
I feel like that's very like team building 94, you know, like very, it can go one of two ways. Either you're having like a game night, like a very intimate, like you're having your friends over and there's like 4 or 6 of you and you're having like a, you know, Scrabble and sidecars or, you know.
That sounds super
great.
Fun.
Hey, look, all right. Manhattan's in Monopoly or something, you know.
It's the alliteration.
It also does not have to be an alliteration, but, well, it could.
Well, we could do Cocktails in Catan, which is my board game of choice.
That's too advanced for me.
Oh, it's so not. It's really not that hard. It's really dorky and nerd. I mean, you want to feel like a nerd, come over for a Catan party. It's super fun.
Oh, there's Takeout and Twister, but I feel like that maybe is not so good.
Works. In any case, I do feel that the icebreakers makes it feel very forced.
Yeah,
Titanic party.
Yeah, everyone sitting around like, oh, great.
Play some icebreakers for our Titanic.
Get it? See what you did. And I think Twister is made fun by a toddler. Like, Mark and I are doing a 30-day plank challenge, and it's made extra exciting by a 3-year-old who does not understand what we're
adorable.
Doing.
He's so cute.
It's like, I can't. I just need 26 more seconds. He might be really good at Twister.
That's cute.
That could be super fun. Okay, so then you've had your meal and you've had your drink, and do I find that at some point I want people to go home? And how do you, is there, do you find that that happens organically, or do you, are there times when you're like,
oh,
okay?
Yeah. I mean, as a guest at dinner parties, I'm like, all right, I've had my fill of this situation.
And have you had either in your own dinner party experience or parties that you've thrown for other people, someone who's clearly not getting the hint?
Yeah. There's always been like a stage five clinger, and you know, you just start to turn down the volume of the music and you start to cozy into your couch and you give the gentle, like, oh, yawn, or you start doing the dishes. Well, you have a child, so yeah. You start, I can't start like rocking my dogs. Like,
close to home for me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. I deal with this all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The yawn, the fake yawn happens a lot in my world. So yep.
And your life happens so late at night, too. Like, your friends, I bet, are way more comfortable staying up until the wee small hours than mine.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, what's next? And I'm like, well, nope, I got work tomorrow. That's it.
Yep. Time to turn in.
No, I just, like, I'm going to bed now.
Yeah.
You're blunt.
I'm really blunt.
Time for you to leave my house.
I've pretend gone to bed before, actually.
While they're in your apartment?
Well, like, you know, started the process, you know, to get like, somebody out.
PJs look, on. I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah, no, and then they leave and I, like, you know, I pet back up and start doing things again.
They're like, okay, they're gone. Now we can hang out again. Yeah. Yep. But that's get a totally real out. Thing. So, like, that's like a public service announcement. If you're invited to a dinner party, like, read the room. Like, don't be the last person. Yeah.
Don't be that guest.
Person is often the person who is like, overindulged slightly, I find, also. So what I like to do is to be like, you know, like, speaking of things you're going to eat, like, either offer them a couch, you know, if you have a spare bedroom, you know, like, I think if they're a close enough friend of yours that you would feel comfortable, like, putting them to bed.
Otherwise,
that's, like,
an
option. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to say, too, is, like, you know, if you really want them to leave, you can call them an Uber on your own dime. Like, as long as you're not, like, transporting them across the state line, it's probably worth the $20.
Jersey's not that far.
Yeah, well... That was not a dig on Jersey. I love your beautiful state. You know, like, it might be worth $20 for you to just be like, hey, I just called you a car. It's going to be here in 5 minutes. Like, let me give you some leftovers. And, like, while I walk you downstairs, I'm going to lock up behind you.
And that might actually be perceived as like, what a luxury. You love me that much. Like,
no, I just want you to go.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody wins.
Totally. So that's
one other being a guest. Do you guys bring host or hostess gifts to dinner parties?
Always.
What do you bring? What's your...
Flowers, wine, booze.
And if you bring wine or booze, how do you differentiate that it's a gift for the host to drink at a later date as opposed to what you brought for yourself to drink at the party?
Oh, it's always a gift for them. Yeah. I would always bring for something for them.
But then as a host, is it weird to like put that away and not offer it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Hmm. You know?
Because that is like an awkward moment of like...
Yeah, last time I had people over, my friend got me a nice bottle of scotch, and I was like, I wanted to put it away.
Did
you? But then I was like, oh, let's pour some for us, you know? Because then you feel like you should pour him a glass.
Just get the smallest cordial glasses that you have.
Right.
I think, I don't know, if someone brings me a bottle of wine and is like, this is for you, I have no qualms about putting it away for...
Like, let's you and I drink this later.
Right.
You and I.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. This is not going out just on the cocktail table.
Right.
What about, like, something that's completely unrelated, like a candle or a bar of, like, beautiful soap?
I knew you were going there.
I have Home Goods on the mind.
Let's go to Home Goods later.
Crystal unicorns.
It was reindeer.
Sorry. They seem useless either
way.
Have
you ever been to a Home Goods?
I have. They're horrible. They scare me so much. I'm like,
they're fantastic.
It's like a landfill, just like in purgatory. It's just like,
she's not wrong.
The soap made me think of something, though. Actually, on a few things with Claire and Erica, which is another show here from the ladies from Of a Kind, they said that their number one like dinner party hack is having really, really nice hand soap in the bathroom.
Oh, I heard that episode.
Yeah.
Yep. And I feel like washing the bathroom mirror before people come over and having really nice soap.
Oh, my house is spotless whenever someone comes over, candles lit. Look, she's mocking me.
Allison, not at me. No, but I just felt my jaw drop. Like, God, I can't remember the last time my house was spotless.
Just also because I'm super, super crazy about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm totally not. Jolie Kerr. Speaking of other shows, have you listened to Ask a Clean Person?
No.
So Jolie Kerr I am one of her projects, and she's trying to make me into a clean person, and she's got a tough row to hoe. Because I'm like, I don't know. But I mean, I want it to be clean when people come over. And then I guess When I'm having like a proper dinner party, the parts of the house that people will see will definitely be clean. There will also be doors that are closed because things will have been shoved.
Well, also just because you just don't want people in there.
I
don't have that luxury also.
Of having extra room?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I have like a house that's... See, now I'm stressed out. Like I thought I wanted to have a dinner party, but the thought of having to clean.
You can invite me over. Well, I kind of love that.
You want to come over for a dinner party?
Well, no, and clean for you.
Oh. Well, you could stay for the party.
Like, all right. I just called you an Uber, Rebecca. Have a great night.
Stop mopping my floor.
Do you want to go? Do you want to penguin dive into the pool before or after the Uber?
This is getting weird now.
Oh, man. Okay, no, but in all seriousness, I totally want to have a dinner party. I think that it's fun. Do you guys feel like it's gone away a little bit as a thing that people do? I feel like I threw a lot more dinner parties when I was in college, and then grown-up life sort of got in the way.
My schedule is definitely, well, just personally, you know, being in catering.
Right, you're working when you're...
Right, yeah. Exactly, and you get home, and it's like the last thing I want to do is... plan another menu.
Right. Yep.
It's like, oh, this is fun. No,
maybe,
but
that's the problem. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're totally right, because that's what I do all the time.
Right.
Like people ask me like, oh, you must eat so well at home. I'm like, yeah, I eat a lot of
grilled cheese.
yeah. With really nice soap. Oh, man. Well, you know, I wanted this episode to be super inspiring so that people's takeaway was, I can totally do that.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know. I think, Jack, do you feel like you could totally have a successful dinner party?
Yeah, I want to. I want to have more dinner parties. So this made me feel like doing it again. It's hard to get everybody free at the same time. That's my problem. Right. I'm so freaking busy. And then the 1 minute I have, a few of my friends will be like, oh, I'm out of town. And then you're like, all right, I guess I won't.
Well, maybe we should make our like holiday/New Year resolution to be like, we're going to have a dinner party once this winter.
Yeah.
Done.
Okay. Like, and then how about we all report back on how it went?
Yeah.
Oh, we should do that. Oh, that's fine. A follow-up.
We'll do a follow-up.
I have to say, now that we're going into football season, this is harder. I'm not a football fan, but I know some people are. But I find I would recommend highly the early Sunday supper dinner party. So like 4 o'clock on a Sunday, you wake up from your hangover. Honestly, let's be real here.
No, she's right.
Let's be real. I like to drink a lot. And the whole point of having a dinner party is to have all of my people there to drink with me.
Yep.
So I don't feel like an antisocial loser. And I will cook them food for that privilege. But if you started at 4, it means you can wake up from your hangover, you can get, you know, like you can get yourself set up, right? You go grocery shopping, you have 3 hours to cook food, you know, 2 or 3 hours, people show up, and then they leave by 10. And it's a great day. Then, you know, you have a couple hours. You have leftovers for Monday.
Right.
So you take those to work. You know, you kind of end up your weekend without the, like, Sunday sadness of going back to work.
The
like, you
Sunday feel, depression.
It's so sad. So, I mean, doing some dishes, of course, that's a bummer. But, like, to end your weekend on a high note, you know, it's like going out on Friday night. And you're like, oh, I was so successful and the weekend hasn't even started. So you have a dinner party on Sunday. You're like, I was so successful and I enjoyed this weekend until the very last moment.
And I will say, I am not a football fan. Like, I can't tell you players' names or anything. But if it's on in the background and it's like a reason to like gather, I'm totally with having like a football party.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually just had my family over on Sunday, and that's exactly, you know, I did some braised short ribs. My dad was in heaven. No, seriously. And they had the game on in the background. The dogs were snoring. Like, it was lovely. It was so lovely.
I'm with it. Maybe I'll do a Super Bowl dinner party. That could be fun. See, but then it's just like permission to make wings. Like, I don't need the Super Bowl to be on. I just want like other people to come help me, because otherwise I'll eat all the
queso.
Yep, queso dip.
Your mouth is smothered in buffalo sauce.
Buffalo sauce. I tried to make queso from scratch. Like, I was gonna make like good queso.
Nope.
Just get a brick of Velveeta, put it in the microwave.
Why would you even mess with that? Like, just go. You can't mess with anything.
Because I was like, I'm gonna fancy it up. And
stop it.
Nope. That was a waste of time and resources. All right, you guys. I love you both. I love you, Jack. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Next week, I believe, is going to be the show that I have been looking forward to. And now that it's upon me, it's making me a little bit nervous, which I think is a good thing. I'm going to talk about what if you hate the holidays.
Raising my hand.
Yeah, Jack's raising his hand. I'm raising my hand. I feel like I've gotten a lot better about Christmas. I'm like stoked for Christmas, but my kid understands Santa and elves, and so that's made it a lot more fun. But Thanksgiving's a rough one for me, and so I'm going to get my friend on who is a family therapist, and he's going to be an expert witness on how to manage some of these things. And so if you have a story that you want to share about not liking the holidays, I would love to hear it. You can email me or leave a message on the voicemail line or send me a tweet if you want me to keep you anonymous. I will absolutely happily do that. I know I have lots of friends who are from splintered families. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the show because I think it's going to be cathartic to give some of the bring some of the light to the places that I'd rather avoid. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Please consider becoming a member by going to heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the donate button at the top of the page. And until next week, everyone, thank you and keep playing with fire and knives.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.